Barney messing up, sorry. Anyway, I don't know if y'all could hear anything I just said. But married to Brittany Cavender, got boy-girl twins that are in fourth grade and a first grade boy. And so we've been members here for about 5 years and we did the Re-Engage Marriage Ministry. Anyway, today is, well, this is my second time because we did the 9:30 service. First time ever to preach a sermon. So give me a little grace. I've been getting texts this week, like, hey, praying for you, you'll do great, whatever. And then today I came in, I got some other encouragement. Buddy's like, hey, man, listen, you got this. He's like, half the church already knows you're an idiot, so you really have nothing to worry about. I'm like, that is, you know what? That is really freeing. Gives me a lot of peace. And that's what we're talking about today, peace. And so we, you know, just read through Micah 5, and I'm going to focus today on the latter part of that, which is And he will stand and shepherd his flock. He's the shepherd, and he shall be our peace. And so what's really cool about the Bible, I love the Bible. It's just so cool to me, like, how everything ties together. And so this prophecy, talking about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, happened 700 years earlier. Like, that's crazy. And I was just thinking about it, like, 700 years. So what was going on, to put in perspective, 700 years ago? And I just, like, looked it up. And it was kind of like, if you ever watched the movie Braveheart, like, that's probably, like, my favorite movie. And, you know, Robert the Bruce just had gotten independence for Scotland. Queen Isabella, like, kind of went, she was from France. She kind of went nuclear on her husband, King Edward, and bailed, went to France, got with some other guy, then came back, conquered England, put him in prison. I was like, man, they needed to re-engage back then. That was rough. And so anyway, another prophecy from about 700 years before is in Isaiah, and it talks about the virgin birth. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, talking about the Messiah. And so that's just amazing. If you think about it, the virgin birth is amazing. And, you know, being a father of younger kids, I feel like that's like a proper time to talk about the birds and the bees to help them understand that amazing prophecy. And so I did that recently. Had a birds and bees talk with my son, and I was just kind of going on and on. I was like, man, I felt like I was just killing it. I was saying all the right things, and I was dropping scripture, and I'm like, did I just give the best birds and the bees talk ever? That's what I was thinking. And I was like, well, you got any questions for me, buddy? And he's like, he's been looking at me intently the whole time, and he just goes, your nose is huge. It's true. But I was thinking I probably have to do that one over again. And so now you'll probably just be staring at my nose the rest of the time. But we're going to try to get into the words, try to focus on that. All right, so back to Micah. So this shepherd that's going to bring his peace, I mean, this is the best Christmas gift we could ever ask for. And we don't really think about that maybe, but it's the gift that keeps on giving, this shepherd that brings peace. If we have that peace, it's just incredible. And the prophecy of the shepherd, Jesus affirms this in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says in John 14, peace I leave with you. Peace, the word of the day. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So I guess the question for all of us today is, are we hearing this voice of the shepherd? Are we hearing it, or are we truly following? Are we doing what the shepherd tells us to do? Are we staying close to the shepherd? And do we have that peace he's talking about? And I can tell you that for me, there's been definitely times in my life where I have not had that peace. I have not followed the shepherd. I've kind of done things my own way. And I'm going to try to explain to you, like, how I've learned how to get on that path to peace. And that's kind of the idea today, the path to peace. So I don't know if you guys, any of you, like, with kiddos, ever had one of those little red radio flyer wagons. So back about 10 years ago, these are our twins, about 10 years ago, Brittany came home and was like, hey, could you put this wagon together? I was like, sure, no problem. And so I pull out the parts. There's not that many parts, and there's just wheels. How hard could this be? Pop them on. I don't know if you noticed, but, like, those front wheels, that's pretty much... It's not how they're supposed to be. Like, they're like backwards. And so basically I created this dysfunctional, deformed wagon. And it was like a point of contention in our marriage for a few years. Every time we pull this wagon, I was like, oh yeah, there's my reminder. My husband's dumb. He doesn't read instructions. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I've done that a bunch in my life. Like, It's like the story of my life. I've done things my own way too often, and I learned things the hard way too often. And I think that's a lot of us when we don't follow the instructions. And God has laid out his instructions, very in-depth instructions for us in this word. And so I went 20 years, you know, I got baptized young. I went like 8, 9 years old, and I went 20 years of checking the box, going to church, doing all the things, trying to be a good Christian, had a childlike faith. There's never a doubt that I actually believed in these things. But if I'm being honest, I didn't know him. And I didn't know the shepherd, and I didn't know his instructions because I didn't read it. I was just too distracted. And so I'm just going to tell you, if we're not reading God's word, it's not leading us, then our lives are, at some point, they're going to end up looking like that wagon. And so we're talking about the path to peace today. So three R's. The first R is read, okay? We're going to read. We're going to read the word of God. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace, word of the day, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so Satan is constantly bombarding us with distraction, with outside worldly information. And so if all we're doing is relying on, you know, building our worldview off of what people tell us of the world, like celebrities, social media, news, all that. If that's all we're getting and we're not getting, renewing our mind on the word, then we are going to be like lost sheep. And I think there's a reason Jesus calls us sheep, right? Because we're dumb. Sheep are dumb. And we need his wisdom. And so I've made every excuse in the world for why I wasn't in the word at one time. And that's Satan lying to me, lying to us. It's too hard. It's too confusing. And I'm just too busy, so I'll just go to church and that's enough. Well, here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of what? Peace. He's not trying to confuse us. He's just trying to give us peace. We just get in the way of it. And so and I'll tell you this. If a simple guy like me can get to a place of comprehending, understanding this word of God, then I'm convinced anyone can. Psalm 119, 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple me. Like, so again, if I can do it, anyone can. The unfolding of your words. So I love these study Bibles. We give out these study Bibles in the back. And if you don't have one, you need one, okay? So it gives all these contextual notes, tying everything together to help make sense of things that may not make sense initially. And this is how you can unfold God's word, okay? Another problem we run into when we're reading the word is we lack humility. That's our nature is kind of to be prideful. And we feel like we got this. We can build that wagon, do it our own way. And so sometimes we, you know, we might hear the word and it's in one ear, out the other. And the deal is that, again, we're dumb sheep. We need the wisdom of the Lord. And Isaiah says in 55:9, for as high as the heavens are than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, we need to be led by the shepherd. We should be desperate for his direction. And I think the problem we have, and I've been this way, it's kind of like we approach the word, it's like we approach other things. It's like a chore. It's like, I know it's something I need to do. Like, I know I need to mow the lawn today. I know I need to change the air filters. I know I need to read the Bible. That's just like, I don't know, there's somewhere in there, there's pride. Somewhere in there, that we're not humbly accepting, like, no, we're lost, dumb sheep. We need this word. Like, we're lost without it. We're going to mess up. So that's the first R, read. Second R, repent, okay? So, again, we naturally like to do things our way. So a big part of repentance is understanding, like, okay, he is Lord, I am not. I'm going to do his will, not my will. I'm surrendering. I'm turning my back on the world, and I'm going to the kingdom. I'm doing things his way. Full surrender. So James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be a doer of the word. So, you know, back when I was a kid, it was all about this belief proclamation. I believe, but that's not what brings peace. What brings peace is full surrender to his will. We're doing things his way, and when we submit to his ways, we'll find that peace, okay? And then repentance isn't this just like one-time thing. Yeah, I repented that one time. No, it's like repentance, biblical repentance is like a posture in life that you live as a believer, as a follower of Christ. And so Jesus says in Matthew 3, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Again, not a one-time thing. It's something we do and have a posture in our life. And then Acts 2:38, It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So for me, looking back on it, I was like, I got baptized. Cool. I didn't repent. I didn't have a life of repentance at all. And guess what I didn't receive? I didn't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, even though I'm proclaiming belief, even though I got baptized. And so receiving the Holy Spirit, this is what I've learned. The Bible talks about it is the seal of salvation. Not some pastor telling you like, you're saved because you proclaim belief today. That's not salvation. Salvation is when you have the seal of the Holy Spirit, okay? This was a problem for me for a long time. And so the third R, recognize. Recognize that you need the Holy Spirit. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's Jesus talking. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Spirit, you can do nothing. We can do nothing righteous. We're just dumb sheep. We need to be led by that shepherd. And when we start doing things his way, then we can be righteous. So we're powerless to overcome sin on our own. And we will continue to run astray if we're not closely following him. So, some verses on following him. Galatians 5:24. To set the mind on the flesh is death, focusing on what I want to do. But to set the mind on the Spirit, what God wants, is life and peace. We must stay focused on his will, not our own. So Galatians 6:8. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So we must sow to the Spirit. And we must not turn away from his shepherding. And so the Bible calls us to examine ourselves with this. Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And we fail to meet the test, again, if the Holy Spirit is not present in our lives, if we aren't living in that full surrender posture of repentance. And so one way to examine ourselves is do we have fruit in our lives? Do we have the fruit of the Spirit? And Galatians 5:22 explains that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We have moved forward in a posture of repentance, bearing fruit in repentance. Okay, so I'm just going to show you how this played out in my life. So again, 20 years of proclaiming Christianity, not being in the Word. And finally, I got to a place like my wagon was broken. I did a bunch of dumb stuff, paying the consequences of my sin. And I finally was humbled to a place. I'm like, you know what? I need something else. I need guidance. My way's not working. So I get in the Word. And early on, this is coming up on 20 years ago for me, but I just remember this. I started reading this Word. So if you could turn with me to Ephesians 5. We're going to read 3-18, and I'm just going to kind of run through this and just kind of like the kind of awakening I had to like how far off I was. You know, I'm listening to the world. The world's saying one thing. When you think about what the world says about the things that are about to be spoken of here and what the word is saying, it's different. It's not the same. Okay? Starting now, it's a pretty hard one right off the bat. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Okay? Well, me growing up, I'm like, church my whole life, but it was always like, okay, yeah, you know, first base, second base, third base, yeah, just don't go home, you know, but, you know, if you love the person, maybe you could go home, you know, that's just like the worldly things you hear. We're not supposed to even step in the batter's box, okay, and that's not a hint, and let me just tell you, you know, pornography, major problem in our culture. That's a hint. I mean, Jesus says, do not look with lustful intent, or you're committing adultery, which is one of the Ten Commandments. Now, the hint of sexual immorality. I was like, okay, repent. I need to repent in some ways with all this, big time. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Okay, greed, you know. I'm getting a lot of peace and security from my money, from my career, from things that I shouldn't be. These are improper for God's holy people. No, should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, inappropriate joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Well, shoot. I mean, back in those days, I was cussing all the time. I was representing Christ horribly. My witness is probably getting killed left and right because of the way I talk. And yeah, inappropriate jokes, no big deal, right? Well, I needed to repent. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I'm like, whoa. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Whoa. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Okay, so don't be partners with anyone that's people that are being disobedient. Okay, I've heard it said there's studies like the five closest people in your life represent your character. The people you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with fools, you're going to be a fool. If you surround yourself with wise people, you're going to be wise. So that matters. I need to repent. I was like, I need to kind of distance myself from some of these people that are pulling me into worldly things and get into community, church, around people that will steer me towards godly things. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So how do I do that? I got to renew my mind. I got to read. I got to be in the Word. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Well, do that. You know, tell it the good old party days, talk about the stories. You know, that's not holy. That's not representing Christ. It's just, I need to repent of this. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We must again renew our mind. And here's one that got me. Do not get drunk, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so, man, repent. I had to repent of all these things. It just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, man, I am not living according. I've been living the way the world says, okay. I mean, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I've been in church, but yeah, this is different than what I thought. And I'm like, man, I mean, something's wrong. I need to. So it's like, okay, I need to do things God's way. That's why I don't have peace. These sins are causing me to not have peace. And then I realized this is just a small part of Scripture from one little chapter, from one book in this giant book. And I'm like, what else might I be missing? You know, all the moral guidelines for living is how I'm called to live. I mean, unrepentant sin is a big deal. You're not going to have, I've learned this, no lasting peace with unrepentant sin. Sin is a big deal, and I think we just kind of like, yeah, the world, they do this, and you know, at least I don't do that, you know. Well, any sin, like we forget, but like Jesus, I mean, we know the gospel. Let's think about it. Jesus had to get on a cross and die. He had to take our place on a cross. Sin is a big deal. So big he had to do that. It separates us from the shepherd, and if we continue to walk in unrepentant, rebellious sin, we dishonor the gospel, and we abuse his grace. And we're not going to have peace in that. You know, one day, you know, my wife, when I did the wagon, she's like, why didn't you follow the instructions? I'm like, I don't know. I thought I could do it my own way. One day we're going to face God Almighty. He's going to be like, why didn't you follow the instructions? What are we going to say? You know, and some of these things, you know, a lot of stuff I just brought up in Ephesians, like that's like habitual sin, stuff you've done. It's like you can't just snap your fingers, flip a switch, and all of a sudden that you're gonna just be able to do these things, especially on your own willpower. And that's the third R. You know, we have to recognize that apart from him, we can do nothing. We have to fully surrender and understand and follow his lead so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome these sin struggles. And so that we'll start to love what he loves, hate what he hates, and be walking in his will. So there's another example. So right before, when I asked for Brittany's hand in marriage, I was working for a company doing sales recruiting, and I was like pretty prideful about what I was doing. I was like the top salesperson, and I was, you know, getting my peace from that in a way, and that wasn't going to be a lasting peace. So God needed to humble me. So there was this, I remember asking for Brittany's hand in marriage, and her dad was like, well, can you take care of her? Can you support her? And I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, I got this. Don't worry. Like, well, 3 months into marriage, I was fired and humbled in that, but it had to my boss for too long. Finally got rid of me. And one day, Brittany had been at work all day, and I'm kind of in between what I'm going to do with jobs. And she walks in, and I got a buddy over, and we're playing Madden football video games. Not a great look when she's been at work all day. She comes home. I was like, all right, buddy, I think you need to go home. And that conversation wasn't really fun. But so I go start a company. I go start this company and, you know, super stress eating, getting unhealthy. Starting a company is hard, you know, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done. And then 6 months into it, I'm already stressed out. I then get sued by my old boss. And so it's like, now it's like DEFCON 1 of stress. I mean, super anxious. And I was a mess. This thing went on for like 18 months. And I realized I just had security and worldly things that didn't matter. Like job, you know, income, career, it didn't. that didn't give me peace. That was freaking me out. And so what did I do? I was like, you know what? I need to get in this word. I need to get in this word. I need peace. And these scriptures reminded me to think with an eternal mindset instead of worrying about things that didn't truly matter. So Philippians 4, 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then John 16, 33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So these two verses are now have been hanging in my office for years, and they keep it reined in, like, to keep me reined in on his peace. And so that was step one for me. I was just kind of reading those things. Okay, I'm having more of an eternal mindset. He's overcoming the world. My career doesn't matter. My income doesn't matter. This lawsuit doesn't matter. Chill out. What matters is this relationship, this abiding relationship with God, so that I am right before him in eternity. And then I read this. This is great advice. Hebrews 13, 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I was like, yes, what can man do? This guy sue me. What can he really do to me? God's got me. He's my helper. And I'm just like, chill out, dude. Like, eternal mindset. And then, you know, this thing had dragged on for 18 months. Crazy depositions, crazy discovery. It was just consuming my life. It was horrible. And it went on for 18 months. And I wish I had like 18 months earlier, like read this. This would have been good. Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Well, my lawyers have been telling me, don't talk to the other side. Whatever you do, you just don't do that. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to this instead. Live peaceably with all. So I call my old boss up and I'm like, I work it, and we go meet for lunch. 24 hours later, this stupid whole thing is over. We've settled it. I move on. 16 years later, I've had this company, huge blessing, and I've been at peace. Okay? Now, what I needed was to be whacked upside the head because I was getting my peace from something other than him. And that was not going to be lasting peace. And I had a lot of unrepentant sin, a lot of pride. And he pointed this out to me. Hebrews 12, 6 and 11. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so that's like my story right there. I really did that. And so the whole point of this, the three R's, if you put that up. So read, repent, recognize. It's all about drawing near to God. James 4, that's like my go-to verse. It's so simple. Just draw near to God and he draws near to you. And you have this abiding relationship that sanctifies you and gets you right to a right place. And we read, we do what it says, and we recognize we can't do it on our own. It's really simple. And that's, if you can just do those things, it'll provide you peace. And when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, it helps us to better understand Scripture. So there's no longer these excuses. It's like, man, it starts to make sense because he's in me. He's helping me make this clear. You know, he helps me to fight temptation and to continue bearing fruit in repentance. And he sanctifies me to help just overcome because he's overcome the world. He gives us the ability to overcome the world. And not just that, but to represent him well in holiness. We are so unholy, but with him, we can represent him in holiness when we have this abiding relationship. So what does an abiding relationship with Christ look like where we recognize we can't do this without him? Well, one, starter, you're here, right? That's great. That's a first step. Like, you know, you need to be a part of his church and surrounding yourself with a Christian community that's going to be help model your character to look more like Jesus. But it's not just about going to church. It's about being the church, okay? So if all we do is just come here and listen to a sermon on Sundays and then go home and we don't read the Bible and we just say, yeah, I go to that church, I go to Grace, I check the box and I do that every... That's not an abiding relationship with Christ. That's just making yourself feel good. If you want to be a part of this church, you can be a part of the church. You serve, you get involved, you know the people and you're known so that you can walk that path of holiness and that posture of repentance, because it's hard to do this alone. We can't do this in isolation, okay? So it's super important to have church community, church involvement. That's part of the abiding relationship with Christ. Of course, I already said a bunch, but the Bible, just making this not a chore, but something you understand you need so that you don't wreck your wagon of a lie in your life like I have. And then just other things, just prayer, and then just pursuing wisdom, books, sermons, whatever you can to just continue to build wisdom in your life to have that abiding relationship with him. So at the end of the day, okay, this, just in closing, like, let me just tell you something. This book is supernatural. It's not like any other book. This is God's word. And we don't see it that way sometimes, I feel like. But spiritually, we need this like food. We need this like water. We need like the air we breathe. And if we aren't, we're lost sheep. We're a lost sheep, whether we recognize it or not. We're lost sheep without this word. And my question for us now is, like, do you call yourself a disciple of Christ? Are you truly walking in his will? And do you have this peace we're talking about? So John 8:31, Jesus says it, if you abide in my word, if you are a man in my word, you are truly my disciple. So does that define your life? Are you in this word? Are you truly his disciple? Okay? And if we are followers of Christ, here's a challenge for you, okay? If you call yourself a follower of Christ, I guess, and you agree that this is the right thing to do, is to be in this word, would you raise your hand? Okay, that's pretty much everybody, feels like. Here's a challenging verse for you then. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And then there's a warning from Jesus, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not the one who got baptized, not the one who checked the box and said he believed in Jesus. Many will say, Lord, Lord, the one who read, repented, recognized, the one that does the will of the Father who's in heaven. Let me ask you something. How can we possibly do the will of the Father without the word of God? You cannot. So what does that mean? That means we need to read this book like our eternal lives depend on it, because it does. And not just our lives, but think about this. All the people in our lives that need to hear this word from us, that we're, if we equip ourselves with this, then they can then know the word too. And then we can help all the lost sheep wake up and follow the shepherd and have this peace. And so if you don't have a good study Bible, I'm inviting you to please grab one from the back. This thing has changed my life. I mean, just transform me. You need this. Go get one if you don't have one and spend time in it. So in closing, just this Christmas season, let's celebrate the shepherd that brings us peace through his word, Lord. And let's just, as a church, let's wholeheartedly pursue his peace by reading, repenting, and recognizing that we need to cling closely to this shepherd. And let's strive to live lives that are worthy of this gospel, so we're making it clear to the lost sheep of the world that they need the shepherd that brings peace. Amen? Let me pray us out. Father, thank you for this shepherd that you've sent to us, that we celebrate this Christmas season. Help us to pursue this peace, Lord, by reading your word, by repenting where we need to repent and surrendering fully to your ways instead of our ways. Help us to recognize that apart from you, we can do nothing. We must have this abiding relationship with you where we cling closely to the shepherd, Lord. Help us to all do that. Help us to not be lost sheep anymore. Just thank you for all you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.